Hallelujah. Let's remain standing and open our Bibles to John 14. And we're going to read from verse 19. And also 1 John 3 and verse 2. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. Yet ye shall see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And also 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we come before you, Lord, in thanksgiving. Believing, O God, that not only have you come down with a shout, which is a message, but you brought down in that shout your opinions, your values, your judgments, your transforming power. Because we know that we are receive our change, we are transformed by the renewing of the mind. And we must have your Holy Spirit to have an understanding of what this is all about. And so, Father, we ask you to help us, O God, as we study tonight the continuation of the rising of the sun, and we ask you would bless us, O God, as we read the words of your prophet and from your scripture. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now this evening I have 21 pages, so I may have to speak a little fast, or maybe I'll just take it as the Lord leads. I should. And if we have to pick it up on Sunday, we will. But this evening we read for our text that there's coming a day, and now is that day, that we are to see as he truly is. Jesus told us, his disciples, he said, you see me now, but I'm going away, and you'll not see me. But there is coming a day that you will see me again. And we know that this is the hour of his appearing, and we are to see him at his appearing as he really is. The Apostle Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 13 and 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. So we're looking at a time when we will not only see, but we will know. And that is what we want to examine tonight. Now from the sermon, Rising of the Sun, Brother Ramson, not long ago, for a help, as I think our Lord said, and so did Paul, but the Father showed me, I felt nothing back. And I tell you, in these last days, when we see this quickening power upon us, he even given us quickening power to let us see the sick healed. We have seen the quickening power working among us like it was then upon them in the early days. We see it bring back by visions and raise the dead, see and make it the sick well. Notice we're looking at the scripture that says that we will see him as he is. And he says, but you see me because I live, you shall live also. What I want to bring to our attention tonight is we're not dealing with our eyes, physical eyes. We're dealing with the eyes of revelation, the eyes of the heart. And we're looking at seeing what God sees. And Brother Branham says here, what the Father showed Paul, that's what Paul held nothing back, and that's what he showed us. Now, continuing in paragraph 111, the other day I was telling someone, little Donovan Wirtz. Now remember, Donovan Wirtz is not little as our English term called little. He was young at that time, or younger. But Donovan Wirtz is bigger than I am. So he's not little Donovan Wirtz, as the English understanding would be, but according to Brother Brown, he'd be a little brother. All right, so little Donovan Wirtz here, I guess you all know him. And he might have been saying that facetiously because he's a big guy. But I was up hunting with him, the poor little fellow. And he's a nice little guy, comes here to the church. Just a very good friend of mine. And he just said, didn't want to bother you. I looked at his ear and turned all inside out. And I said, how are you, Donovan? And just took him by the hand like that in a cancer. And I said, Donovan, what's the matter with your ear? And he said, don't know, Brother Branham. About 6-7 months ago, it just keeps getting. And I said, why didn't you say something about it? He said, I didn't want to bother you, Brother Branham. I said, do you know what it is? He said, I have an idea. I just put my hand over on him, never said a word. 2 days after that, there wasn't even a scar. What is it? That quickening power. See, it will quicken your mortal body. His ear would eat off. His brain would have been gone. See, he'd have died, but the quickening power. See. And one day when I was weary myself about it, and I said, "If you now, boy, you'd better go ahead. You're 50 years old. You and if you're going to do anything for the Lord, you better hurry up and do it. You're getting old." See. And there that morning, the quickening power come, and he let me look over the curtain of time, and I seen all of you over there. Isn't that nice? Shows him age. Might not have had the doctrine down like you and I have, but he saw him there. See, he said, "All of you ever loved, and all that loved you, they're given to you." See? And I seen him over there like that was. Like that. What was it? Quickening power. John the Revelator was filled full of the quickening power and stood up and seen the end from the beginning. Isaiah was full of quickening power and stood up and seen the millennium and all. The quickening power. And if the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it'll quicken your mortal body. Mortal body. Now notice Brother Branham is saying, look, the quickening power allows us to see things that others don't see. John saw the end from the beginning. Isaiah saw all the way to the millennium and the new Jerusalem coming down. These men, by revelation, saw in their soul things to come. So let's not just look at the quickening power as being miracles like Mark 16 or John 14:12, unless we look at the fact that John 14:12 is there's a life involved. And you can't live that life unless you see as God sees. Now there's an awful lot what Brother Branham said in these three paragraphs, but we only have time tonight to get into one of those thoughts that he laid out for us. And this evening I'd like to focus our thoughts on the quickening power giving us an ability to see what the world cannot see. An ability to see what God sees. Now, from his sermon, Perseverance, Brother Branham said, this little woman, she was a Greek from the country of Syrophoenicia, and we find out that she must have heard about the praises and glory of the Lord Jesus. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. She heard, and when she heard, you know, faith finds a source that others don't see. Now, if you don't have faith, well, then there's no need of trying to show it to you, because faith can see it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. In other words, not seen with the eyes. Faith sees what the blind people doesn't see. I was not talking about blind people with the blind eyes, physical. I was talking about the blind people spiritually don't see. Again, from a sermon, Why Christ Speak, Brother Brad said, Moses saw this vision, and Pharaoh said that. Well, this is great. And God said, it's an abomination. So Moses chose what God said. Now notice, faith sees what God wants to see, wants you to see. See, faith sees what God sees, and reasoning and sense to see what the world wants you to see. Again, Brother Bram said in the sermon, Perseverance, he said, faith cometh by hearing. We know that. And she had a lot of things to hinder her, but faith finds a source no other knows anything about. Faith finds this source that no one can explain it. It's something that you know. Others can't see it, but faith sees it. Faith sees that where the natural eye doesn't see it, but the inside eye sees that. And in the sermon, Results of Decision, Brother Brown said, we find out many times that people rely on their symptoms. If they pray for it, I was going to find the report from Brother Joseph, see how many went away last night, was really, after a full week of gospel teaching, how to be healed, that went away and say, well, still got it. See? And you probably always have it, see, if you feel that way. Faith don't see that thing. Faith sees what God sees. Faith don't see any symptoms at all. Faith refuses to see the symptoms. You say, well, Brother Branham, if they are there, shouldn't we say that they're there? No. No, sir. Never claim it. Okay, so tonight we're focused on this thought that the quickening power, which we know is the Holy Ghost, or God's light in us, is for the purpose of showing us or revealing things the world cannot see. In fact, that is the evidence that you are born again, and that the very quickening power of God, His God-life, has quickened your mortal body. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor has ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God," in other words, the great quickening Spirit, "hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." Now notice, no man has seen these things that he's speaking of, but when he says God makes it so that you can see them through revelation, that sixth sense called faith, then Paul says, "For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Notice Paul is speaking here that it takes the Spirit of God to know or to understand. In other words, to see what it's all about. "Therefore, no man can see the kingdom of God unless he has the Holy Ghost." And that is what Jesus taught Nicodemus when Nicodemus came to him at night, according to John chapter 3. We find in John chapter 3, verse 1, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, and he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit," in other words, have a natural birth and a spiritual birth, "he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that which we know, and testify that which we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent to the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Notice, when people walk away from the light, they're walking into condemnation, into darkness. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought, or that they are made in God. In other words, it's God working in you to will and to do. Now, Brother Brown takes us to the scene, this scene in John chapter 3, and tells us what this talk between Nicodemus and Jesus is all about. From a sermon, Seeing God, notice the title, he says, "How blind a person must be that can't see life, and thinks that many people doesn't see life. Now we might see it, but the word see doesn't mean to look at. The word see means to understand it. Now Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Now in other words, you'd be looking at something and you say, well, I don't see it. Well, what you mean is you don't understand it. To see, what we call see, that's to look at. But to see in the Bible terminology is to understand what we're looking at to be revealed. Now remember, we have a promise that Jesus spoke to the disciples, and he said, in that day. In John 14:20, we read, and at that day you shall know. You shall know what? You shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Notice there is to be a day, which the scripture refers to as that day, and I believe with all my heart that that day is this day. Even the Apostle Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 1 and 10, He said, when we shall come to be when he shall come to be glorified in the saints. Glorified, which is the Greek word endoxazo, and the word en, the Greek word for in, and doxa is the Greek word for opinions, values, and judgments of God, and zoe meaning life. In other words, Paul putting that together, in doxa, opinions, values, judgment, and life, in your life, expressed. In other words, Paul is telling us, in that day, the very doxa of God will manifest in the lives of the saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. We also see in the Old Testament that speaks of that day, as this time in history, where Malachi 3, verse 17, we read, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day, when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serveth him. In other words, you've got to understand adoption there. His son that serveth him is the right kind of a son. And notice what else will take place at that day. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth his son. Notice, then shall you return. Then you will know. Then you will see. You'll see the difference between the righteous, the rightly wise, and those who don't serve God. Now, in 2 Timothy 4 and 8 we read, the Apostle Paul also speaks of that day when he says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of rightwiseness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. So, at the time of the appearing, we are to receive a crown of rightwiseness. Alright, that's your doxa. And of course, Brother Brad said that in this day, he said that this day is in this day, according to Convinced and then Concerned. He said, now John was so sure that he was going to see the Messiah, till he said he's in our midst now. Now watch. Notice, there's a great big difference in the sign of Jesus appearing and then Jesus coming. There's two different words, and they mean two different things. The appearing of the Lord and the coming of the Lord. Now, the appearing of the Lord is now when he's appearing in his people. His Spirit working among them, proving that it's him with them, getting them ready for the rapture, for the coming of the Lord to catch away his bride, the bride. The appearing and the coming, all right? Now the thing that we have to do, if we can believe it, and be concerned about it, first we've got to be convinced that it is God. Then when we're convinced, then we're concerned. I like that. All right. Now notice he told us the appearing is God working right now in his people, getting us ready for the rapture. That is exactly what Paul said. He said, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. When? At that day. Again, Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 2, that you may not be soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man should be revealed the son of perdition. So we've got two things here. We've got the appearing, and we've got the falling away. Two things that he lets us know that we are now at that day. And of course, we're living in the day spoken of when the doxa of God is to manifest in the saints, and at the same time, the falling away from the doxa, or the message of God, is also taking place. And we see that and we're witnessing the appearing of the Lord in that day, which, of course, is this day. Now, getting back to what Brother Branham was referring to, in Jesus' talk with Nicodemus, he said also in a sermon, Questions and Answers, Connoisseur and Doctor, he said, now, in there, that subconscious, see, that's where your mind. Now, Jesus said, except a man be born again. Now, that's not what I wanted. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, you couldn't see the kingdom of God because the kingdom of God is the Holy Spirit. Some standing here will not taste of death till they see the kingdom coming in power. He said, then the kingdom of God, the Bible said, is within you. It's within you, the Holy Spirit, and you can't see that with your eyes. So, see means to understand. Have you ever looked at anything, looked right at it, and say, well, I just don't see it, see? I just don't see it. You mean you don't understand it, see? See? You don't understand it. To see is to understand. But with your eyes, you look at anything, but with what's inside of you, you understand with. You see with that, see? With the eyes of God, you look. and from his own perseverance. He also said everything the Christian can depend on is unseen, the promises of God. And we look at something that we don't see with our eyes. By the way, if you see it with your eyes, you don't see it. See it means to understand it. You look at something right straight and you say, well, I don't see it. You mean you don't understand it when you understand it. Something that's got an understanding that God has made his promise and something has struck you that you believe it, that's understanding that God's promise is to you. Then something is going to happen. Then I don't care. Nobody in the world can talk you out of it. You're on your road then. Nothing is going to stop you. Now, so getting back to 1 Corinthians 2, and we'll pick up at verse 13, which things also we speak, Paul says, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So we're looking tonight at what the world cannot see nor understand. But because we have the mind of Christ, and we've already pointed out that the only way that you can understand the things of God is that you have been quickened by the Holy Spirit, God life in you. Now what I want to do is turn a corner right now and open something up to your minds that it will take that quickening power to make known to you. Because without the Holy Ghost living in you, there is no way that you'll be able to understand what we're going to look at next. These things really struck me today. I spent the entire day in my study I'll just read. In 2 John, verse 8, he says, look to yourselves that you lose not those things which we have wrought, which we've worked for, but that we receive a full reward. I remember in our sermon the last two Sundays how we spoke on the reward not going to just those who are born again, but only to those who are fully mature sons and daughters of God. Because John then says, whosoever transgresses or whosoever goes beyond the limits and abideth not or does not remain in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He not only does not possess God, but he does not echo God. He does not say what God says and how God says it. He that abides or remains in the doctrine of Christ, he hath or he echoes both the Father and the Son. So how do we know that we echo the Son of God? John also tells us in 1 John 5 and verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Now he's going to tell us how we know if we're echoing. He that echoes the Son echoes life. He that echoes not the Son of God echoes not life. So if you're not echoing that life in your life, then you're not echoing, you're not saying the same thing Jesus said. So it's very apparent that our life is an echo of what life that we live. Either it is the life of Christ living in us, or it's not. Now, how did the life of Christ come forth from the Father? We need to understand this because God is God and he changes not. And John tells us that he that echoes the Son will also echo the same life as that which was in the Son. From attitude and who is God. Now remember, we drove home the point a couple Sundays ago. God is not a respecter of persons. What he did for his Son, he has to do for you the same. Jesus said, if you live the same life and suffer the same things I do, you're going to reign with me. You're going to sit in my throne as I'm sitting in my Father's throne. The rewards that I'm given, you're given. You'd be joint heirs with Christ. Alright? Now listen. From attitude, who is God? So, he first was God, Jehovah. And out of him. Let's just picture now as a little drama so that you can get it. That's coming out of space where there's nothing. Let's make it a little white light, like a mystic light, like a halo. And that was the Logos that went out of God in the beginning. That was the Son of God that came out of the bosom of the Father. That was that which was in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was God. And then out of God came the Logos, which is a part of God, that went out of God. Now let's notice this. I have to make this before going back into it, just like a little picture drama here for you, just a moment, in order for you to understand this. Okay. Now from Hebrews chapter 1, he says, could you imagine, before there was even an earth, before there was a light, before there was a star, before there was anything, there was a great fountain going forth of spirit, and out of this fountain came the most pure of love, because there was nothing for it to come out of but love. And now, and what we call love today is perverted love. But just as we get a essence or a little bit of that love in us, it changes our whole opinion. Then out of there come another stream off of this main fountain, the diamond, and it was called righteousness or right wiseness, absolutely righteousness. Now that's the reason that we had to have law. That's the reason law has to have judgment. If judgment doesn't follow law, law doesn't do no good. And when judgment was passed by law, which brings death. And there is no one that could pay the penalty but God himself, and he paid the penalty of our death, and he took our sins upon him that we might be the righteousness of God through him. Now, when these great lights went out, or great rays of spirit, love and peace, that's all there was, there wasn't no suffering, there wasn't no hate, nor no malice. I think it's interesting that in this last hour, before the judgments fall, that the amount of hate in the world is becoming almost unbearable. There's so much hate. The wicked hate anything that's righteous. They mock it openly. They have no shame. And they won't be there because God is love. He said, there wasn't no hate, nor no malice. It couldn't come from this fountain. That was Jehovah. That was Jehovah God. And now, as the theologians call it, a theophany went from that, which was called in the scriptural the Logos. The Logos that went out of God. It's hard to explain, but it was a part of God. Now, perhaps Sunday, I don't know if I'll get into it or not. But I want to get into this fountain and show you that this is actually a great rainbow fountain. That each of these lights that he talks about were the seven spirits of God, each one represented by a different color. Love is red. Red is the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. No greater love can a man have for his neighbor than he laid down his life. All right, we'll get into that perhaps someday. Brother Brown said, the locust that went out of God, it's hard to explain, but it was a part. It wasn't all of God, it was a part of God. Now, from Hebrews chapter 1. Now, here's what happened. Oh, excuse me, I just get on this. This just gets me right where I love it. See, the Logos and this great fountain of spirit, which had no beginning, no end, this great spirit began to form the creation, and the Logos that went out from it was the Son of God. It was the only visible form that this spirit had. And it was a theophany, which means a body, and the body was like a man. Moses saw it when it passed through by the rock, and he looked at it, and he said, it looked like the hind part of a man. It's the same type of body that we receive when we die here. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. That was it. And that was a theophany, which was the Son of God. That Logos became flesh because we were put in flesh. And the theophany, the Logos, became flesh here among us, and it was nothing else but the dwelling place for that entire fountain to dwell in. See, that's the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelling in him. But notice, when that light came out of God, it came out in the form of a man, a theophonic light. But it was a great rainbow color that formed into a theophany. Now think about this. All that was in God he poured into his Son. What is the next part? And all that was in the Son, he poured into you and I. So we would see Jesus, he said, ye shall see me. That better? All right. Ye shall see me. Now if Christ has risen from the dead and we are given the invitation in the scripture that he promised that we could see him, and that that he would be the same yesterday, today, and forever, then would you desire to see him? Would you say, if you raise your hands, would every Christian believe in that? I would with my hands up. I'd love to see him. Well, now, how can we see him? The way we can see him is by his works. No works, know God. Now, he hasn't come in the corporal body yet among us. He's here in a spiritual body, you believe that? A spiritual body called the Holy Spirit. He's in the form of the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, God was a spirit, and all the fountain of goodness and mercy and power, and all the good things of love, God was the center of that fountain. And then the Logos that went out of God in the beginning become what we would call a theophany, or a supernatural body. God is not... is just not like the air, but he's in a body. Moses, seen him pass, and said it looked like the part of a man, and so forth. And then that same theophany was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him, the only begotten of the Father, Christ. So question and answer on Genesis. Now notice, then after a while I begin to see a little sacred light begin to form like a little halo or something. Now, is a halo like this? No. Is it like this? No. It's like this. Now listen. Like a halo or something. You can only see it in the supernatural eye to look now. While we're looking, the whole church now, we're standing on a great big banister watching what God's doing. And we'll get right down to this question here, and you'll see how that he brings it in. Now, no one has seen God, and now the next thing we begin to see by eyes of supernatural looking, we see a little light, white light, forming out there. What is it? That was called by Bible readers the Logos, or the anointed, or the anointing. And as I was going to say, the part of God began to develop into something so human beings could have some type of an idea of what it was. It was a little light moving. That was the Word of God. Now, God gave himself birth to this Son, which was before there was even an Adam or heir to make an Adam. Jesus said, glorify me, Father, with the doxa, the glory, with the doxa, which we had before the foundations of the world. Glorify me, Father, with the opinions, the values, the judgments, which we had before the foundations of the world. Okay? So far we've seen how that God took of himself, as he was a great fountain of light, and poured all that was in himself into that mystic rainbow light called the Logos, which was the Son of God. Now, what is white light? It's all the colors together. That mystic white light. Now, what I want to show you tonight is that same thing that had taken place for you and I as well. It had, seeing that God is not a respecter of persons. From his sermon, Seed Shall Not Be Air With A Shuck, Brother Brown said, when he began to brood upon the earth and brought forth marine life, with the Spirit of God, the Logos, the Word, which God said, let there be, and there was, and there went the Logos, which is the Word, and the Word began, and because all this was in the Logos, the whole Word of God, the whole Bible for every age, and as the Logos began to breathe upon the earth, there come marine life, and building up to bird life and to animal life, and finally, there comes something in the representation, or looked like, the thing that was brooding over it. God, a man in the very image of God. That man fell like the seed has to fall. And then God began to brood over that after that fall. He brought up an Enoch. He brought up Elijah. He brought up Moses. He brought up prophet after prophet trying to restore that image again. And finally upon the earth came the genuine image of God himself again, which was God, the Logos made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, and that same Logos has a part. He's God a bride. And the same Logos, this Word that cannot be tampered with, is brooding over the churches today, trying to bring back the Word to its full manifestation. Which the prophet was carrier to that seed, and the church denomination has been carried to the seed now. Now notice quickly, but like the shuck holds in the seed now, and then it leaves it. Now notice, just as God began his great family by imparting light into a little white light, that was birthed as the Logos of God, the Son of God, he must do the same for us if we are indeed sons. For God is the same and he changes not. That is what Brother Branham is telling us here. Again, notice, God took of the sevenfold Spirit of God the seven colors of the rainbow in that great fountain of life, and he brought it forth into a
Look,
when you bring the seven colors and bring them together, you have to have white. It's just, that's what it is. White has all the colors in it. Now, and that light was life. Also, that which was made manifest is light. Now, from Kurdish time, God, I hope I'm not talking too mysterious to you. I'm trying to get down to what something I'm really seeing here. Because I really believe we're coming more and more and more into His image. Now, God, from the Kurdish time, God, which was a part of God, God seeing, seeing what the end would be from the beginning, and the Logos come to the earth, which was Christ the Word, spoken Word of God, part of God, and was made flesh and dwelt among us, and then we come out of Christ, which makes the same life that was in God, in Christ, in you. Where did it all come from? The great, many-colored, seven-colored fountain of life. It made a white halo called the Logos, called the Son of God. And out of that white halo called the Logos, the anointing, the anointed, came little Messiahs. And Brother Bram said, when the Holy Ghost comes into you, it comes like a little white light about the size of your fingernail, about the size of a button. Well, if it's a white light, that's what he said. Then within that white light is made up of what? The seven colored rainbow. In other words, the same thing that God is. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, spirit of his spirit. By one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. Now, I'm explaining your deity, how it came from God. The Logos come to earth, which is Christ's spoken word, and we come out of Christ, which makes the same life that was in God, in Christ, in you. And just as sure as God raised this up, we've come to we've got to come to the same thing. If the same Spirit's in us, because it's the Spirit of God making us sons and daughters of God. Oh, isn't it marvelous? How do we get it? By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what, and accepting it. And then God, in return, gives us the Holy Spirit, crying in our hearts, Abba, Father, my God. And then we are resurrected in the last days to be caught up. And he said, that day you'll know that I am in the Father in me, I am you, and you in me. And that day you'll see. Notice that the Logos that came out of God and gave birth to the Son of God came forth from that rainbow that represented the seven spirits of God. From faith once delivered to the saints, Brother Brown said, now may this convention be a convention that it'll seem like a great trip to heaven to them. Granted, Father, and now, dear Jesus, as we come now to the other part of the service, I have spoken at length in saying that we were commanded by the Apostle and by the Bible to earnestly contend for the faith. I've tried to introduce this to the audience, what the faith was, what they did by the faith, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Christ that lived in the body called Jesus is the same Logos tonight that lives in the body of the church, performing the same things, living the same way, loving the same ways, doing the same things, the same Spirit producing the same things, the same Jesus yesterday, today, and forever. God, may you quicken that to the people's heart and mind, from the least to the oldest. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. And Lord bless you. If we could just come to an understanding of that right there. Notice he says the same Logos, which is the same anointing that was in Jesus tonight, lives in the body of the church performing the same thing. That's John 14:12. Living the same way, loving the same ways, doing the same things, because it is the same Spirit performing the same things. Again in the sermon, question and answers, part 2, Hebrews. Now he's speaking of the soul, the Spirit. For we pack our bodies over the grave of the saintest of us, for this body and the body. And in the first place, when God, the Logos that went out, when the Logos that went out of God, or as I went through the Catholic call it, the eternal sonship of God, which, as I've said before, the word doesn't even make any sense. So, see, there cannot be an eternal son because the son has to have a beginning. And so Jesus had a beginning. God had no beginning, see? But the son was not eternal sonship, but the son that was with the Father in the beginning was the Logos that went out of God, and it was a theophany of God that went out. The human form that didn't have eyes like you see, he had a better eye. Didn't have ears like you hear, but a far more hearing. See, it was a theophany. And that all this rainbow condescended into a theophany. Moses saw it when he passed through the rock. He saw the back parts. He said it looked like a man. Now please keep this in mind. All of this rainbow condescended into a theophany. Notice that this same rainbow that came together into that logos to bring birth to the Son of God came down to bring life to sons of God. I want you to think clearly on this because we saw that rainbow. That same one that Brother Branham saw that came as three separate rainbows converging together into one rainbow. We saw that. We filmed it over my meetings in DRC. That same pillar of fire that was above Israel, leading Israel, showed that he is still leading us to the millennium, as Brother Branham told us that he would do in the third Exodus. Now, from the third Exodus, Brother Branham said that was a burning fire, that pillar of fire in a bush. When he died and rose on the third day and saw many of them on that road, he was back to that pillar of fire. He said, I came from God and I go to God. When Peter was in prison, that pillar of fire come in, it opened the door. It took him. And on the outside, that's right. Where did that pillar of fire lead them? Now remember, Moses was not the pillar of fire. He was the anointed leader under the pillar of fire. And the pillar of fire only vindicated his message with signs and wonders. And that pillar of fire led them to the land that God promised them, where he himself would be made flesh among them someday. Is that right? What did they do? Murmured and squirmed and everything else to show you that it was under the blood of an ordinary lamb? But this time, God to glory, the pillar that we see among us, the pillar of fire, will lead us to the millennium. Where he will return to his people in that great millennial reign after his exodus, where we'll live eternally with him. He always has the word of the Father, always proves that it's right. Now, from the third Exodus, Brother Branham, now I want you to notice this same pillar of fire is leading the people again to the promised land, the millennium, where we found under the inspiration of the sixth seal that's never been taught before, how the earth has to be purified for the millennium. The pillar of fire is leading them to a millennium. And notice the pillar of fire that led Israel from the bondage in that Exodus. The pillar of fire under the leadership of God. God was the fire. The pillar of fire only anointed the prophet. The pillar of fire was to stand as a heavenly witness that Moses was called out. Remember, Dathan and them said, we ought to start an organization. Moses takes too much upon himself. You try to say that you're the only holy one among us. All the congregation of the Lord is holy. How can you take this upon yourself? And Moses fell on his face and started weeping. And God said, separate yourself from them. I'll just open the earth and swallow them up. That's right. How could Moses have told them that he was telling them what God had said? God vindicating it to be the truth. That's what that pillar of fire was about. From the third Exodus. Notice the pillar of fire that called them out, led them to the promised land under the anointing of a prophet. A pillar of fire that they could look at led them to the promised land under that anointed prophet. And they constantly turned him down. Is that right? Sure. Now, I know that we got to have a baptismal service. I got about six pages more here. I guess that I'm going to stop here in just a minute. Watch, we are calling out. Come out of Babylon, my people, said the angel's voice. Out of what? Confusion. Is the Methodist right, or the Baptist, or the Catholic? Come out of it. God is right. How do you know it? Let every man's word be lie and mine be truth. Come out of it. What do you know? And that should be in red, of course. I miss that. The same pillar of fire, the same anointing spirit leading to the promised land. Now notice, led them, brought them out, led them to the promised land, Israel the nation, and the very same God, the same pillar of fire, that only, they say that camera, when you read George J. Lacy, not me, you read where George J. Lacy examined that picture, the head of the FBI, for fingerprinting documents, there's his statement. Some of them says it's a double exposed lens. And listen, Brother Branham said that those three rainbows that he saw was a pillar of fire. In a way that was so powerful for him, he had never experienced anything like it before. Because remember, when the pillar of fire showed up over him, he didn't know it. I mean, he might have felt it, but he didn't see it. But when the picture was taken, he saw it. But when he saw those three rainbows, he saw it. From the message of grace, Brother Rouse said, now, there's a group of people call themselves the oneness of Jesus only. I don't agree with them upon their theory. Neither do I agree with that Trinitarian group that says that there are three different gods, the extreme of the Trinitarianism. But I believe that the three, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, is one. That they are three offices of one God. He lived in the fatherhood in the pillar of fire. He lived in the sonship in Jesus Christ. And he lives now in the Holy Ghost in his church. The same Lord Jesus that was made flesh and dwell among us is with us this day, among us in the form of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, Brother Branham just finishes explaining God in three, the three offices of God. And then he says, of all the experiences, when I turned first and seen it, thinking first that it would be the sun peeped through the cloud somewhere, but it was before the sun, or before the sun time. Then when I turned back again and I seen it wasn't the light, it was rainbows. And then when I look and seen it, I become numb all over. Just someone said to me, did you feel like shouting? No, I didn't feel like shouting. Those experiences never make you feel like shouting. They just make you feel anchored. Just where that you know that there's something that tells you just a satisfied feeling. Remember in Revelation 10 and 1, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. And you can see in that picture the cloud is a wig. I mean, the clothing is a wig. And a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. White wig, cloud, rainbows, pillar of fire. Notice God showing us all three aspects of his divine love, his divine life, his divine grace. His three rainbows, his seven spirits in the cloud, his pillar of fire leading, and that is why it showed on his feet, for if we walk in the light as he is in the light. So the pillar of fire is still leading us to the money. And notice, he is that same pillar of fire that was over Moses, that same pillar of fire that was with Paul, that same pillar of fire that was with Brother Branham, and I'll say this, and over our meetings in Africa. Showing that the same pillar of fire is here, leading us to the millennium. It gives me shivers to think of the great God and Creator came down to watch over our meetings when we were speaking of the relationship he had with his firstborn son, Jesus, and how we are coming into that same relationship with him. And to think God confirmed what we're teaching, and I wept when I first saw the pictures and the film. I wept because of his grace to me, a sinner, saved by his grace, and yet his presence came down. Now, Hebrews chapter 4, Brother Brown said, we have a high priest sitting in the heavens, ready to make intercession upon our confession. What is it? It's when Jesus went back to the Logos, the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel, setting the presence of them, great fountain, rainbow of light that come out. There's your pillar of fire. The seven perfect spirits, a perfect spirit of love. Now, love was just one of the seven spirits. It's also one of the colors, which is red. That's why I want to get into it on Sunday. Again, from his sermon, Hebrews part 2, COD. And so Jesus had a beginning, God had no beginning, see? But the Son was the not eternal sonship, but the Son that was with the Father in the beginning was the Logos that went out of God, and it was the theophany of God that went out. The human form that didn't have eyes like you see, but better eyes. He didn't have ears like you hear, but a far better hearing, see? It was a theophany. That all of this rainbow condescended into a theophany. Moses saw it when he passed through the rock like that. He saw the back parts and he said it looked like a man. Now, what Brother Branham said in this paragraph gives me such a beautiful picture of what God is again doing today. The rainbow came together into a mystic light to birth his son Jesus. That same rainbow converged right before the prophet's eyes to birth another son, and in this day, it has done the same for us, his other sons. Right at the very time I was preaching on the same relationship that God had with his son, his firstborn son, that same relationship with William Branham, and showing that same relationship had to come in us, and at the same time, God came down in that rainbow, three rainbows. Now, I believe with all my heart, I'm not saying this to prop me up at all, I'm saying this very much in humility. I see the pattern. God expressed in himself in seven colors, seven spirits, love, red, blue, and and yellow and orange and green and purple and indigo. Each one of those represents something. Red represents love, the first spirit coming up. Green represents life. Blue represents trueness. All right. Gold represents judgment. Now, I believe with all my heart, for Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is God, and He changes not. He is not a respecter of persons. He cannot be a respecter of persons. Therefore, what He did to bring forth His firstborn son, He has done for other born sons. And I feel privileged to be one of them, and I hope you do too. Now, from Hebrews chapter 4, He said, as we had it the other night, God in the beginning was Spirit, and then from God went out the Logos, or the Theophany, which was a form of a man called the Son of God, prefigured. Now, the word prefigure is defined as to show or represent beforehand by figure or type, in other words, to foreshadow. So it was not the Son of God, but a figure or a shadow of what the Son of God was to be. It was the physical embodiment of God, which God cannot be physically embodied. He's a spirit. So when God birthed forth a representation or a form or a figure, that former figure was the pre-incarnate Son of God. He, this prefigured one, God, came in earth in a body of flesh even before He came in Jesus Christ. Now swallow that once, brother. I'll prove it to you. That's not me. That's the prophet. When Moses saw Him, he said, "Let me see Your form, Lord." And God hid Him in a rock. And when He passed by, He said it was the back part of a man. That was that theophany. That's exactly. Then that theophany had to be made flesh, not another person, but the same person, had to become flesh to take the sting out of death. Like a bee when he stings, it leaves a stinger. He never left that. He could put a sting in human flesh because it's sin. But brother, when he stung that Emmanuel flesh, he lost his stinger. Yes, sir. He can buzz, but he can't sting no more. Again, from Hebrews chapter 6, Brother Matt said, the forerunner is gone. As for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, this great forerunner has gone before us, making a way. He's become from a spirit, the great fountain of the rainbow of God, who had no beginning or no end. He was forever God. This ray of light went forth. It was a ray of love. That's the main one, red. The next color follows, which was blue. Blue, the trueness. Next followed after that was other colors to the seven perfect colors, which is the seven spirits of God that went forth from the great fountain and that great diamond that Jesus spoke of, that great diamond that's chipped to reflect those colors. God was made flesh and dwelt among us that He might reflect His goodness and mercy among us by gifts and signs and wonders. That whole big rainbow had become in a theophany made in the image like man. Yet He wasn't a man. He didn't have flesh yet. He was a theophany. Now notice that that great big fountain of rainbow coming together into a light, a theophany made in the image of like man, is that what God was doing in those three rainbows William Branham saw? Is that what He was doing over the church in the heart of Africa that the brothers took the picture of? From Hebrews chapter 4, it said, we have a high priest sitting in the heavens, ready to make intercession upon our confession. What is it? It's when Jesus went back to the Logos, the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel, setting in the presence of them the great fountain, a rainbow of light that come out, the seven perfect spirits, a perfect spirit of love. Now, we are told that part of that same Logos that was in Christ, which, remember, was formed by the rainbow presence of God Himself. But Brother Brown says in his sermon, Impersonation of Christianity, he said that same Logos of God, a part of it is in us too. And you're on the basis of free moral agency. You can turn this down or you can accept it. But to turn it down is to be lost and remain potash and calcium and petroleum. But to accept it and to have a new heart, a new spirit, and His spirit, part of the Logos in you, controlling your emotions. And when He coos through His word, you coo back and answer Him. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen, Lord. I am the Lord that healeth all thy diseases. Amen, Lord. How much more will he raise you up? Though your bodies be blown from east to west by the winds, how much more can this Holy Spirit, after the total annihilation by this atomic bomb that's going to drop on this earth one of these days, blowing holes and scattering out the space, but the calcium and potash will remain here, and then the Holy Spirit brood over again. Every bone will go to bone, every limb will go to limb, and there'll be a church of the living God standing up in the last days. Now, in his sermon, Revelation chapter 4, Brother Branham goes into a lot of detail concerning the rainbow of God's presence. In Revelation chapter 4, 24 elders, he said, what would he do? Remember, he made it with the earth, his color. But now watch, this rainbow only horizontally just covers in a bowl one half of the earth. Brother Branham is explaining, okay, this rainbow comes, God says the rainbow, and he says, and it covers just one half of the earth. That's all Noah's rainbow colored, just covered just half of the earth. It was in an arch. That's all you can see. But when John saw him in his emerald color, he surrounded the whole throne of God. The half has never yet been told. He colored. The earth just makes an arch. It's just half of it. That's the church ages. But when John saw him in the amber color, the color amber, he surrounded and covered around like a halo, Brother Branham tapped something, a halo of amber color surrounding his being, see? One color, one God over all, through all, and in all, but there is seven church ages. So see that when the rainbow of God came in Noah's day, it was God's covenant with man. And as Brother Branham said, it showed that the other half had yet to be told. It was just in an arch. Then when the three rainbows came to William Branham, they merged together to form an upside down bowl or a cup-like, which is the half that had not yet been told. And when John looked all the way to the end, he saw the same rainbow was now in a full circle, just like what the brethren saw in Congo, DRC. First, it came as a single horizontal rainbow and hung over the church like that. We have the picture. Then, 20 minutes later, a second horizontal rainbow came and joined itself to the first rainbow that was hanging over the church. And when they merged together, they formed a bowl like what Brother Branham saw. And they continued to hang over the church for another 25 minutes. And then a third rainbow came and joined itself together with the other two and that had been in the bowl shape. And when it joined them, it formed a full round rainbow like the halo. Exactly what John saw while in the vision on the Isle of Patmos. So what does it mean? Well, let me read the next quote, and perhaps we'll have our answer. From a sermon, Faith of Abraham, Brother Branham said, him, a righteous man, he rose, he told it to his little kingdom. And they went over to Abraham and took Sarah back and reproved Sarah and gave her back to Abraham. And Abraham prayed for him and God healed him all of his land. And notice how that God in his sovereign grace did this. Then the time came for little Isaac to be born and God sent him just exactly like he promised. And he kept his word to the letter and will always do that. And when you see God's made a promise, you remember singing the old song? Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I'm trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. It's your possession, he said. When you see the promise of God, it's your possession. Jesus died, gave you a checkbook for your whole earthly journey, signed his name at the bottom of every one of them, for any redemptive blessing you have need of, fill it out, hand it in, watch and see if it doesn't come rolling down the horizontal rainbow to your soul. God's obligated to it. The deposit's already been made, the deposit for anything. Think of it. The trouble of it is with Christians, they don't know what they have. Now, in a sermon, let your light so shine, Brother Branham said, when I go into the mountain and change, it isn't so much going up there to go hunting. I'm going there to get along with God, or to get alone with God. Some of you, if you'll notice, my greatest experience that I have is when I'm out hunting, when I meet God. Now, out of all of my experiences, and he had quite a few of them, you think about the 300,000 and the 500,000 people that were healed in the different meetings. Out of all the experiences, I never had one like I had the other morning right up there. Going squirrel hunting, I've seen many things in my life, signs and wonders and so forth, but that struck me stronger than anything that I've ever had yet. Just imagine now, just about the time of the break of day, raining, solid, cloudy, all over, and seeing standing in front of me, rising up from like a cup, setting on the hill, setting there, three rainbows rising higher and higher until it was so numb all over till you could hardly speak. Then walk to it and hear him speak and confirm the very message that you're preaching to be the truth. Now, in closing, I'm going to read you from the Message of Grace because Brother Rand talks about that. In paragraph 13, he says, I stopped and had offered a little word of prayer as usual and telling the Father that just what I had need of to provide it. And I don't believe in wasting anything or destroying. Never shot a bird in my life with target practice or anything else. What I hunt, I eat or give to someone that does eat it. I don't believe in wasting anything. I don't believe in doing those things because it's not right. Then as I turned and started along the familiar little pathway by the side of the pasture that crossed over to an L shape in the woods, and something strange took place. All of my experiences, I've never had anything like that. I looked at the top of the hill to my left, and there was standing, and there coming out of, like the top of the hill, came three rainbows. And they were running some 30 foot high, exactly what took place in Congo. First, I looked and seen the light, and I just turned back because I thought it might be the sun rising. On the second thought, it wasn't towards the sun, it was towards the south. And another thing, it was smooth, cloudy rain, raining all over. That was August 25th, last Friday morning, and you know how it was raining? And it's smooth clouds everywhere. And I looked again, and there it was, growing taller and taller, three rainbows. And I took off my hat. I set down my gun. I started walking towards it with my hands up. Something just seemed to tell me this is close enough. I was going to set down and take off my boots that I had on to see if I could walk a little closer, but I got within a few yards of it, and I seen the color of it, misting like a fog moving around, and I stood still for a few minutes. It was coming right out of the top of the little mountain, and I watched as the three, one to the right, one to the left, and one in the center, running down into one bowl, like. Ever what it was a lie. Now, that's exactly what I have on tape when I talk to the neighbors that watched this thing 30 feet above the ground. They said about 10 meters high, 30 feet above the ground. And as it came, and they said whatever it was alive. And these were not believers in the message. These were just people in the village that saw it. Using the same terms what Brother Brandon said, they said it appeared like it was breathing. You know, like it was, like there, and almost like a heartbeat. All right. And I watched it, one to the right, one to the left, one to the center, running down into the bowl like, ever what it was alive. It was moving and making its motions. That's exactly what they said. And I said, there, just as it was graying down, I turned and looked again and I screamed out, oh God, what would you have your servant to know? Just then the Spirit of the Lord came in and said, Jesus of the New Testament is Jehovah of the Old. He only changed his mask from spirit to man. That was confirming, of course, my message of him, letting me know assuredly that these 31 years hasn't been in vain. Then I came back to the place and I'd been thinking when I said limit, that meant five squirrels, which is a limit in Indiana. But I remember last year when he asked me how many did it take me for me a mess, I said three, and I just got the three. So yesterday I went back, was going to the same place again, and something said, I do not go across the road. And at exactly 10 o'clock, on the exact dot, 10 o'clock with my watch, I shot the Indiana limit, the fifth squirrel. I want you to notice there were three rainbows. There were three things said, three squirrels gotten. There were three things, three squirrels by 10 o'clock, no mosquitoes. The sun would shine in 30 minutes. And there were three to give witness of it. Brother Banks would, my son Billy Paul, and his son David, to give a witness to it. When I seen them rainbows, about as wide across as that halo is, that angel of the Lord, but there were three of them running into one. Oh, how it helped my heart to know that God, that Jesus, is not just a man as people think he is, just a prophet, as this modern idea today thinks that Jesus was just a prophet. He's Jehovah of the Old Testament, made flesh and dwelt among us, and there that sure did comfort me. Then thinking of that subject, that God God had sought so many people. We pray now that you'll keep them through life. May they, every one of them, be baptized, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus, washing away their sins. Grant it, Lord. Now I present them to you as your servants, believing that the great angel of God who appeared down there, and Father, you know all that story, and the great angel that appeared there this Friday morning, just as the gray of dawn, spoke these words in the form of three rainbows coming up from the top of the mountain. Lord God, let that God who appeared to me there in the rainbows, let him save this people by his grace just now. I give them to you in the expectation of you keeping your word, and you will, and I'll meet them on that great day without a spot or wrinkle in their soul. Grant it in Jesus' name. I give them to you. Amen. God is not a respecter of persons. The same pillar of fire that led the children of Israel is leading, still leading us to the millennium. And Brother Branham said, if you people would believe that this is like a checkbook with his name on it, that whatsoever you ask him, he'll give it to you. You want your sons? Ask. He'll give it. You want your daughter? Ask. You want your grandchildren? Ask. You want your sons? Ask. He's already signed the check. That same pillar of fire, that same seven-colored rainbow fountain of the living God. The red represents love. The green represents life. All those attributes of God poured into a little white light called the Logos. And you were in that Logos when God poured it. And when the Holy Spirit, that portion of that Logos, came into you like a little white light. And white is all seven of those redemptive colors of God. Spirits of God. Think about that. In you is enough deity to create worlds and go live on it. So there's enough deity in you tonight to speak the word. Your body needs healing. Confess it and believe it. And don't look again. And like Brother Ann said, don't even look at your symptoms. Don't even confess those symptoms. You feel any pain? By his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. I've applied the token. My sons will be there with me. For all our offspring will be with us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we are so thankful that you're not a respecter of persons. The same thing that you did for your son. You poured all seven of those compound redemptive names, all seven of those seven-colored rainbow, and you pour them into one, making it white. And though our sins be as scarlet, they'd be as white as snow. Though they be as crimson, they'd be as white as wool. And that same Logos is living in us tonight. Father, help us, O God. You said you would make our body obey our confession. And so we're committing it into thy hands. For it is you, Lord, that is working in us both to will and to do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Will the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee.